Well, hello, modern mystics. Welcome to December's teaching modules. I hope you guys have been having a wonderful fall and are settling into a cooler time of year as we roll into the middle of December and we start to settle into a really powerful time for all of us as mystics as we roll into winter solstice. I can't believe that we've been playing together for 6 months already, how quickly time has flown by. I want you to know deeply and powerfully how much I've enjoyed being your guide during this part of our time together, that I've been able to be your guide during this part of your mystical journey. And I hope you've been able to give yourself the gift of taking some time to really sit with the modules. You know, we've covered a lot over the last 6 months. And even though we've covered a lot, we've only just begun to scratch the surface of what is possible for us as mystics and what the potential and the greater possibilities exist for us as we move on. For the last couple of months here on the planet, particularly here in the United States, have been a very interesting time. There seems to be a lot more discord and chaos and weirdness and oddness and confusion and fear and just sort of a basic throwing a hands up in the air kind of idea about what the heck kind of crazy ride are we on or what are we stepping into. And for a lot of people, they're stepping into a feeling of greater powerlessness, greater insecurity, a greater uncertainty. But we as mystics, our job is to be able to really look deeply at what is going on the surface. And using our mystical and alchemical tools of awareness and transmutation, being able to look at the physical structures, the physical appearances, the material appearances, and look deep into and beyond those physical experiences into what is truly going on at the spiritual root, at the spiritual epicenter, at the spiritual eye of the hurricane, if you will. And that's certainly what we've all been working on over the last 6 months. And I know that many of the members of Modern Mystics, as they have observed sort of what's going on in the times that we are all in the midst of, that they find themselves sort of slipping in and out of their mystical awareness. They know that they've got these mystical tools and these mystical understandings, but then their human side catches up with them. And what I've heard several times from many of you is that what you gain from your mystical practices here as a part of membership is that you're able to recalibrate and restructure yourself and gain greater clarity of yourself, gain greater composure of yourself far more quickly than you ever were able to in the past. And despite what's going on, whether it's personally or internationally or globally, despite what's going on around you, you're able to really ground yourself in your true and authentic spiritual nature and spiritual power in ways that you really are recognizing as powerful new skills, powerful new muscles, powerful new awarenesses. And you're finding yourself able to navigate little shifts with greater grace and elegance, and being able to navigate large shifts with greater power and sense of peace and well-being. So that is certainly a part of the reward of being able to develop your alchemical, mystical skills and tools. And so I hope you're all getting the opportunity to practice and to play, to call in a sense of joy and wonder and awe and curiosity into this practice. I want you to realize that our mystical journey is a living thing. It's very alive and it operates in a multitude of directions. It's multifaceted. It's multi-dimensional. Our mystical self, our spiritual self is a very powerful living being. And just like any other living being, it thrives on movement and action and focus and attention and care and compassion and nurturing, and just like a seed that we plant into the ground requires our tender love and care and attention. And so I encourage you all to, with whatever level you're at in the Modern Mystics membership protocol, wherever you are in the practice, to invite a sense of grace, and invite a sense of play, invite a sense of tenderness into the practice. Try not to take it so seriously or beat yourself up too hard if you haven't been able to commit regularly to the practice. But do acknowledge the fact that it is just like any skill or tool, and that it does require attention for you to improve, for you to get better, just like anything. If you want to improve as an artist, you have to paint every day. If you want to improve as a friend, you need to give attention to your friends every day. If you want to improve in anything, as an athlete, as a teacher, as a mystic, you do need to practice. So however your practice is taking shape, I commend you and acknowledge you and thank you for taking whatever steps that you've been able to take over the last many months. If you've been with me from the beginning or the last few weeks, if you've just joined membership, I commend you and honor you and thank you for being a part of this community. It is truly my great honor and my great privilege, and I consider it a great gift to myself to be able to be an ally for you at this part of your spiritual journey. And speaking of gifts, that brings us to the month of December, where we are working this month in our module in working with the Christed light or the Christed self and claiming the spiritual gifts as we settle into winter solstice. You know, as mystics, this time of year is very powerful and very poignant. And it's deeply transformational as a time of deeper initiation, deeper awareness and understanding, a deeper connection and reconnection with our gifts as spiritual beings and as mystics. It's not just a time of Christmas holidays or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever particular religious faith might be a part of your culture, or lack of particular spiritual practice, whatever it is. It goes so far beyond sort of the commercialized idea or even some of the religious ideas of the time. There's a deep mystical poignancy of this time of year that's directly connected to and directly related with the idea of the Christed light. And the Christed light that we're speaking of here is the idea of the nature of light as being the first physical emanation of source energy. You can go back to the first modules in membership. You can check into the first modules in the Understanding of Light, where we talk about how Christed light, how the Christed power is not about an individual named Jesus, although we celebrate this time of year as a symbolic recognition of that very powerful mystic and how he operated in occupied space here in the world. But rather for mystics, it's an acknowledgement of the Christed light and the story of light itself as it presents itself on our planet, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere. The Christed light in its true mystical understanding is, if you're speaking mystically, the Christed light is the firstborn son or the first emanation, the first created thing that emerged from the nothingness of the void, of the womb of source energy. You know, the true foundation of source energy is a large, you can't even describe it, but it is a vast field of energy that at its root is a vacuum of energy, a vacuum of power. It is a womb of nothingness. It is the vast nothingness that holds everything in it. Past, present, future, all time, no time. It holds everything within it that will ever be created and that ever might be created, that ever has been created. It contains the all. And this mind of this creative force that holds the all, before any light was created, it was just the void. It was the great nothing that held the great everything. And the first thing that emanated from this void was light. Literally, the mystical idea of let there be light. And when the creative force, the creative power decided or chose to create light, and the first emanation of light that contained the first physical manifestation of the all was called the Christed light. This is why in mystical practices, the Christ is known as the first and only begotten Son. This is the story of the Jesus, the Christed one. But so why we celebrate this time as mystics is because on our planet, there is a story of light also happening. And the sun is a representation of this light on our planet, and our humble planet. And the story of light, the story of the sun as it sets, and this is a time of darkness in the winter when there's less and less light in the northern hemisphere. And the sun sets and settles, and the days get shorter and shorter, and there's less and less light. And then at winter solstice, December 21st, it is the shortest day, the shortest amount of light, the less amount of time where the sun's rays affect and influence us. And on the solstice, the sun, in symbolic literature, it dies. And it sets beyond the horizon. It goes into the underworld for 3 days between December 21st and the 25th. And it dies. And then on Christmas Day, December 25th, it is born again. There is a resurgence of light where the days start to get longer and light starts to return to the planet. And the sun, the literal sun itself, is a physical representation of the Christed light on our planet. And Jesus, the Christed one, whose birth is symbolized at this time, is also a physical manifestation of this Christed light on our planet. But there are many other Christed beings in our vernacular, and we talk about as mystics. There was Buddha and Kuan Yin and Lao Tzu, who all understood this powerful meaning of the Christed nature and how we all possess it, we all carry it, we all are it, and that the more deeply and more powerfully we can identify not only with this element of light, but as this element of light, the more powerful spiritual, mystical, Christed beings we become. And so this December time is a season of renewal where the light dies as the days get shorter, and then it is born again. It is renewed. It comes back to life as we celebrate it. And it's interesting that the symbolism of not only, and we'll talk about this in the spring when we talk about the resurrection of the Christed light, but the number three, as the days between winter solstice, the 21st of December, where the sun drops below the horizon for 3 days before it starts its climb back up, that there is a profound symbology in the number three that is very potent. And we'll talk more about that in some of our later monthly modules when we talk about numerology and the power of numbers. But what was sort of most poignant in this understanding is that in not only in mysticism, but in science, in the very electrical nature of our world, there's a phase shift that is happening here in December, a phase from a dying of the light, if you will, and then a stepping back into the rising of the light. But in between the dying of the light that happens up until December 21st and the rising of the light that occurs on Christmas Day, there's a three-day break. And what that three-day break symbolizes in scientific terms is that between every phase shift, if we're talking electrically, when an electrical current shifts from one phase to another, meaning one form or frequency into another, there is a drop in energy. There is a disconnect in energy. It's a literal break. The same thing happens when a neuron in the brain is being developed or amplified. Before there's a great quantum shift in intelligence or in neuroplasticity, there's a break that happens. There's a drop in energy that occurs. Scientists call it entropy. And what we experience, and mystically speaking, it's called going into the underworld, where there's just a very quiet time of, it's not stagnant. It's not stagnancy, but it's being in the underworld. It's a quiet time of profound stillness and profound peace, and that nurtures and cultivates and stabilizes the transformation that's about to emerge. And so, again, it happens mystically in the 3 days in the underworld between solstice and Christmas. It happens in the 3 days of the resurrection between the crucifixion of the human spirit into the resurrection of the Christed light. There's 3 days. It happens in the transformation of brain cells. It happens in the transformation of electrical current. It happens in the transformation of breaking the sound barrier. There is a time between each phase where there is complete and total stillness before there is an emergence into the next level of evolution. And this is why this month in our module, our spiritual power is peace. Because as we start, as mystics, as we are continuing our evolution and as we're continuing to expand and grow and rise into higher phases of spiritual awareness and spiritual power, there are going to be times when, as we shift from phase to phase, as we shift from level to level, there are going to be times when we need to settle into a place of peace and stillness in order for the next level of transformation to occur. And so there is no better time of year for us to do this and acknowledge it than at winter solstice. And another time to do it, of course, is at the time of the equinox in the spring, when the same idea of the 3 days of resurrection starts to occur. And what I want to be very clear about here is this is not religious talk that we're discussing here. This is ideas of deep mystical and scientific understandings of the story of light and how it not only operates for us here on our planet and as we witness and observe things, but how it operates within ourselves. And how there are phases and stages and processes of our own ability to generate, direct, manifest, and shape light within our own beings. You know, we as physical beings are simply a smaller manifestation of the entire universe. And the way that the entire universe grows and expands and changes and transforms and uses all of that energy is just a grander scale of us. And we are a grander scale of what happens in a cell. And a cell is a grander scale of what happens in an atom. And an atom is a grander scale of what happens in a nucleus. And a nucleus is a grander scale of what happens, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it just settles into pure consciousness. And then the whole cycle starts over again. So the important poignancy of what's going on for us as mystics in December cannot be underestimated or understated. And unfortunately, unfortunately, sadly to say, Christmas, unless you have a mystical approach to it, tends to be a very busy time, tends to be a time of very little peace, tends to be a time of very little stillness. There's lots of hustle and bustle and parties and gifts and shopping and running about and taking care of family and cooking dinner and buying gifts and travel and all of that really meaningful stuff, really, but that really misses the mark of what is really truly going on for us. And so I thought it would be really important for us to take this time of December to sort of really settle into there's an outer experience of Christmas that goes on with all of that joy and fun and partying and merriment and caroling and church going and gifting and all of that other stuff. There's an outer experience that most of the people in the world are experiencing. But then there's the inner experience, the inner awareness that we as mystics are very well served to take some time to observe, to witness, to consider, to go into some quiet contemplation. So if at all possible during the course of December, between now and the end of the year, but particularly around December 21st, between December 21st, December 25th, the 3 days leading up to Christmas and the 3 days following Christmas, I really invite you to take some time for quiet contemplation where you step out of the family stuff, the party stuff, the gift-giving stuff, the travel stuff, and really give yourself the gift of some quiet contemplation to really understand and engage with this concept of the Christed light that is being reborn within you. And, you know, really, if the more you spend time, even if it's just to ask the question, who am I and how am I a part of this Christed light? How does that Christed light play a part in who I am now and who I'm becoming? If you can just take some quiet contemplation through this season of renewal to start to ask those questions, then just through that simple asking of questions, your understanding of your relationship and your identification with that light is going to expand. Because, you know, people can only comprehend what they're ready to understand. You know, awakening, deepening our mystical understanding is profoundly personal. And we can't do it through other people's consciousness. Because each individual consciousness is attracted to the lessons that are in alignment with their level of consciousness that they have when they're born here, when they arrive here on the planet. But most people are spiritually asleep. And this time of December, this time of the rebirth and the renewal of the Christed light, even if it's very subtle for you as mystics, is a time for you to plant the seed of deeper, more profound awakening of this Christed nature within you, this Christ within, this light, this higher self, this soul. Because when you start to activate it, when you start to plant the seed, even just by asking the questions of how does this Christed light relate to me? How am I a part of it? How is it a part of me? How does it work in me? How does it serve me? How can I partner with it? How can I engage with it? How can I touch it more deeply? How can I claim it and identify it? Then that, just through the nature of you asking those questions, that is like planting a seed. It's the idea of planting the mustard seed. You know, a mustard seed, scripture in mystical speaking, is a very tiny, tiny little seed. But when you plant a mustard seed in the fertile soil, if you've ever seen a mustard bush, it expands and grows. This tiny little bitty seed creates huge plants. And that's what we're doing when you start to ask these questions and engage with this time in a deliberate and intentional way, because this full spirit, the full Christed nature starts to become activated within it. within us. And as it becomes activated within us, we start to become the manifestations of this energy. As it starts to, as the seed of the Christ in nature becomes alive and awake in us, we become more like it. We become more compassionate, more joyful, more peaceful, more generous, more abundant, more powerful, more creative, more loving, more courageous, more evolved, more, the list is endless. We become a more powerful channel for this source energy of which the Christed light is the first manifestation to move through us. And this is where my favorite quote comes from. There it says, we become what fascinates us. We become what fascinates us. And so wherever we put our attention or wherever we put our curiosity, wherever we put our energy, then energy follows. And it's the same with spirit. And so as we take advantage of this time and consider what the true meaning of the Christed light being renewed and brought to the earth means for us as individuals, and we start to engage with that question, the more powerful that light is going to become within us, the more powerful that creative intelligence is going to become within us, the more powerful our engagement with that energetic field will become, and the more meaningful our inner mystical experiences will have. And so this is the time of year for us as mystics where we powerfully remember, as we plant that seed and we ask those questions about what the Christed light means, that we say that our growth in consciousness, our growth in spiritual power has begun. And we start to really powerfully identify and claim who we are as spiritual beings, as this light being, as this Christed light being. And so that's why this month in December, our spiritual power is peace, being able to set into that place of complete and total stillness that operates as the fertile growing ground for this Christed light to start to emerge. And identification is our alchemical tool, where we start to identify as that light itself. And so Christmas time, winter solstice, the celebration of Christmas symbolizes the birth or the rebirth or the regrowth of this divine nature within us. It symbolizes our spiritual rebirth, where we more deeply, if we're paying attention mystically, where we move from material consciousness, where most people are hanging out, right, in the shopping and buying and purchasing. And listen, I'm not judging any of that. That is great fun, and it's lovely to give and share and to be able to celebrate in that meaningful way. But it's very important for us as mystics to be able to really understand and claim and spend time with a return to the spiritual consciousness, to return to our higher soul nature. And this nature is only available to those who understand and appreciate the subtle nature of the mystical teachings, who can appreciate the subtle nature of what's going on as light transforms on our planet. You know, and there are always a few within each soul group that are ready and available to understand the true mystical teachings, and chances are good that you guys are that, because if you weren't, then you wouldn't be a part of this membership, where the truth of your true mystical nature, your true spiritual nature, the truth of that becomes one of your biggest goals in life, in understanding who you are, why you're here, what your purpose is. You know, what does spiritual practice mean to you? What does God really mean? What does the power of the universe really mean? There's always a few within any sort of culture that are ready to understand that. And then there are a few that, you know, sort of touch on it superficially, and that's fine. But this deep truth and understanding is available to those who are really ready and willing and take the time to understand the true spiritual nature of Christed intelligence. And again, not the religious story, but the true nature of the Christ. And, you know, just to remind you that this true nature of this Christed intelligence, from going from the outer understanding to the inner understanding, is this level of Christed mind that we as mystics focus on. The mind of source energy, the mind of the creative force of the universe. And this consciousness, this idea of the inner Christ, that the inner light that holds all of the potential of the creative force of the universe and its ability to manifest, its ability to create, its ability to expand, its ability to evolve, its ability to transform and heal, and all of its nature, its abundance, its power, its strength, its grace, its beauty, that when that is awakened in an individual, that we become more like it. And the more we identify with that level of mind as being one with that level of mind, the more we're able to manifest its beingness, the more we become it, right? And so the Christed light, the Christed spirit, directs us to identify as it, especially as mystics, to identify as it, so we have the same abilities as it does, that we have the same powers that it does, okay? And so and each of those abilities, each of those skills, each of those powers manifest and takes shape through us in completely unique ways, because we are unique, right? There's nobody else on this planet exactly like us. Nobody ever will be exactly like us. This is a virtue of our DNA. And so source energy and the Christed light, the more we identify with it and as it, will manifest through us in ways that are completely unique to us. And this intelligence within us, it knows exactly what we want. It knows what we want to create. It knows what our desires are. It knows what our skills are. It knows what our power sets are. And so it provides the guidance and the direction and the support and the resources that are in perfect alignment for us. And this intelligence goes beyond language. It's an exchange of energy. It's an exchange of knowingness. It's when your intuition comes online and inner guidance just sort of nudges you and you're in the right place at the right time, or you step away from situations that are limiting, and you break away from relationships that are not empowering. But it becomes an inner knowingness. It becomes an inner direction that comes from this higher nature that is no longer coming from your limited self, from your lower personality, from your identification as Bob or Sue or Tina or Lois or Catherine or Chloe. It starts to come through you as this Christed nature, the Christed mind, okay? And it is infinite. It can serve you in infinite ways, in infinite potential, in ways that your little bitty human brain or mind can't even consider, okay? And this level of mind, this Christed nature, acts as a bridge between our little skin suit personality and source energy. It is the link that we work with as mystics between matter and spirit. All right, it's this Christed identity, I want to say that again, is the bridge. It's the link between matter and spirit. And it's a level of consciousness that we must choose to engage. Okay? And this light is a state of mind. It's a state of energy, okay? And so it when we as mystics work with this field of light, this Christed field of light, we are directed in all concerns of life, money, relationship, health, happiness. Our intuitive wisdom becomes our guide. We are inspired to create, to generate material things, to process outcomes, all right? And so the more we engage in that foundation of peace and identify with this light, the more powerful these abilities come. And we do that through our meditative practice. And we connect and engage with that level of mind that provides our support and our guidance on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. It knows what you need on a day-to-day basis. This is why, you know, I encourage every mystic that I talk to be able to develop this daily practice. You know, I don't send you into and encourage you to develop a meditative practice just for fun, but rather, like I said at the beginning, to be able to develop a very powerful mystical muscle and to spend time with this inner peaceful place, this peaceful frequency on a daily basis, because this Christed light in you, this part of yourself, and I want to be really clear to identify that it's not separate from you. It is you. You are it. You're not communicating with some being that stands outside of you. It is you. You are it. It knows exactly what you need before you need it. It is closer to you than your breath. It is you. And the more you deepen this relationship with it, it will guide you and support you on a day-to-day basis based on where you are at any given time. And so that's why you want to make the daily meditation practice a habit. You know, part of the process of the meditation is to condition our consciousness, condition our consciousness to be this field, to embody this field, okay? And the frequency, as I said, of this field is peace. And so this speaks to our idea, particularly as this month exists, as our spiritual power of peace. So peace, that stillness, that really quiet stillness where the mind is very still and it is just focused on one thing, and that is the I am nature of the Christed light. Peace is the sum total of all frequencies. All right. Just like the Christed light is the sum total of all frequencies of light and all frequencies of created being, peace is the sum total of all frequencies. It is love. It is joy. It is grace. It is compassion. It is courage. It is might. It is abundance. It is prosperity. It is tenderness. It is joy. It is humor. It is wit. It is all of those frequencies combined together. It's, you know, there's a common misperception that says that there's only one frequency and it is love. And that's just not true. The idea of this creative force of the universe, the creative force of God, the creative force of the source energy, whatever you want to call it, could be described as only one thing is so limiting. It's so limiting. Peace, when you're in a position of peace and stillness, it opens the door for any frequency that you might need at any given time to present itself to you at any given moment. And so peace is the sum total of all frequencies. Just like light, white light in particular, is the sum total of all light frequencies. So if you take a prism, you know, a little glass crystal, a prism, a triangular prism, and you hold it in front of a beam of white light, and you let that beam of white light move through the prism and beam its light onto a sheet of paper, you will see that beam of white light broken into the spectrum of color, right? The spectrum of color goes from ultraviolet to infrared to regular violet to regular red to orange and yellow and green and blue and then violet and so on. The entire spectrum of light comes out of that singular beam of white light, right? But what's also inherent in those beams of light, if you were to look at that spectrum of light under a microscope or a magnifying glass, you would see that between each of the different colors, and within each of those colors, there are bands of darkness, bands of things that you can't see. They're considered shadow or dark light. They're things that you can't see, that you have no, your eyes simply cannot register. So inherent within the white light itself are all of the spectrums of color that we can register and see. And then there's this whole other spectrum of things that we can't register and that we can't see, that we just simply don't have the senses at this time to perceive. So for us to say, to limit the idea of the creative force of the universe just to love is incredibly immature and incredibly limiting. Because just like there are light frequencies that we do not have the capacity to understand, or comprehend, or see, or perceive, so too are there energetic frequencies that we at this stage of the game do not have the capacity to see or sense or perceive. So to be sitting into, as we settle into peace and stillness, this opens the door for any frequency that we need at any given time to make itself available to us based on the fact that our true Christed nature, our true soul, knows exactly what frequency we need. It knows exactly what tool we need. It knows exactly what resource we need at any given time. And so peace is the frequency through which that information, that guidance, that support can emerge. And this is a very powerful mystical distinction that so many people in the spiritual community do not understand and don't know. And this is why Jesus, the Christed one, and again, we're not speaking religiously here. We're talking of the great mystic Jesus who understood this nature of Christed light. This is why he was known as the Prince of Peace. This is why Lao Tzu spoke of peace. This is why Buddha spoke of peace. They all spoke of the middle way. Jesus, the Christed mystic, called it the path that is narrow. Lao Tzu called it the middle way, and so did Buddha, that there's this, in this place of peace, this middle way, this very quiet, still path, then true revelation, true understanding, true connection, true engagement, true identification and oneness and unity with this field, this force of divine intelligence can be connected, can be made, okay? And when we, and so when we engage with this frequency in this field of peace, and we start to pursue this information, to engage with this absolute light within us, it's going to elevate our life, to bring us into alignment with it. And how it does that is it removes everything that is not in alignment with it. So as you settle into this frequency of peace as their spiritual power, and then you use the alchemical tool of identity, saying, I am this. I am this frequency of peace. I am this light. I am this Christed nature. I am this power. We start to identify with it. We become more aligned with it, and it starts to remove all that is not like it. So realize that two energies can't exist at the same time. These higher frequencies that contains everything starts to break apart the resonances, the frequencies, the ideas, the limitations, the past patterns that no longer are in alignment with those higher frequencies. And it does it without us getting our fingers in there and interfering. It does it organically. It does it on its own. We don't have to get in there and futz with it. And this too is a part of the beauty of being able to sit in peace. That if we start throwing our mind in there, we start to tinker with it from our lower understandings, then we get in the way of things. And so as we dive into this stillness and this peace, we don't have to do anything other than generate the frequency in the field of peace, and that's as simple as just saying to yourself a few times, peace, peace, piece, and we're part of the teaching modules here this month is a guided meditation that I will support you through this process and walk you through this process in the generating the coherence and the peace, and then being able to claim your identity as a Christed nature. There's a guided meditation as a part of this month's module that will support you in that. And peace, as a spiritual principle, as I've just described it, contains all the frequencies, and science calls that coherence. And anybody who has done any sort of training with me before, as it relates to intuition practice or creation practice or visioneering practices, that it always starts from a place of coherence and peace and stillness, so that you can access these higher realms, these higher dimensions of intelligence. All right, and so that's our understanding of these two elements, the element of the spiritual power of peace as a frequency loaded with power, loaded with energy, loaded with information, loaded, so loaded. People think that peace is this dull, blissed out, stoned, ineffective, impotent, you know, 1960s version of peace, man, like, oh, peace. Like, that's not what peace is at all. Peace is called, scientifically speaking, the zero point, the stillness where all energy exists. It is, peace is the zero point in a pendulum. If you imagine a pendulum as it swings, if you hold a pendulum as it swings from left to right and left to right and left to right, the position of peace is the center point at the very top of that pendulum. That without that center point, the pendulum couldn't exist. There would be no place for all of that energy to move through or from or be engaged out of. And so that is the power of peace. And so you see all over the world these days, very little peace, very little stillness, lots and lots of chaos, and people getting engaged within that even more profoundly than ever before. And so being able to take advantage of this time at Christmas, around solstice, December 21st is solstice, where the sun hits the lowest, its lowest position on the horizon, drops below the horizon for 3 days, and then comes back on Christmas Day. To take advantage of those 3 days and the 3 days after, to really cultivate this frequency of peace and this frequency of identification, will support you in the next years to come in ways that you can't even imagine right now. Okay? So our goal at this time of year, as we bring the mystical understanding, is that we're students of this practice, and this is important to us so that we can bring forth our own Christed nature, taking advantage of this time of year, so that we can influence our lives moving forward, so that we can influence the lives of others, so we can refine our consciousness, so we can be valuable channels through which this degree of energy and intelligence can flow, can be interpreted, can be used by us. Okay, this is the time for the mystics to really dig in deep to their work. This is a time for the mystics where we understand that when a soul is ready, it will awaken to it. It will be born into it. Literally, like, you know, the Christmas nativity, the Christed light is born. And a mystic takes advantage of this time of year so that it can be born into this Christmas light. The Christed mind is born as light. And this time of year for mystics reminds us of this birth of light. And, you know, mystically speaking, even in the Bible, it says, ye are Christ's. It's in there. And it's in the Bhagavad Gita. It is there. We are told we are gods. And the more we claim and identify it, and we let this mind exist in us, and we let this mind awaken in us, then we will start to shift between our simple, limited human consciousness and start to live more profoundly from the powerful Christed consciousness. And that's our goal as mystics, is to swing out of that limited, small, although greatly beautiful, greatly meaningful wonderfully poignant human consciousness, but be able to swing and grow and evolve and expand and emerge beyond that, like a caterpillar emerges beyond itself through the chrysalis and into the butterfly to become this expanded version of itself. And not as a distorted God complex that, you know, there's a lot of people out there, there's not a lot of people, but there have been many people out there who get this distorted God complex and they start to declare themselves as the born again Messiah and they, you know, that they are the second coming and they start to rule, they get it wrong in so many ways because it's distorted. It's not grounded. It's not authentic. And so this need, this requirement for us as mystics to claim this Christed light becomes really, we get this really false, bizarre perception that it's like, oh, you're insane. You think you are this God thing? Look how crazy it drives people. Well, it does drive people crazy because it's very powerful if it's not grounded in authentic understanding. Okay, and when it's distorted, that's when it gets confused and it gets utilized for negative ends and it hurts other people and it just causes so much chaos. But when it's done authentically with a true mystical understanding, then it can be used for deeply profound, transformative, meaningful means. Okay, and so this esoteric inner teaching, and that's what esoteric means, it means inner teaching, hidden teaching, is only for the few who are really grounded and equipped and determined and dedicated to claim it and to do the work required to be a proper and appropriate vessel for that energy to emerge. And the outer teachings are for, you know, the people who, you know, who don't take it quite as seriously. And that's okay. That's okay. Never judge anybody for where they are on their journey. And never think that because you're diving deep into any sort of mystical practice that you're somehow better than anybody else and the people who aren't are less than or worse than you. That's not what this is meant to be. It's just sometimes at each time on the planet, there are a few people who are really sincerely serious about this work. And it's just not meant for everybody, and that's okay. And that's, again, why you guys are a part of membership and, you know, that there's not a billion people in membership. It's a very small, refined group. This is why Jesus only had 12 disciples, all right? He would speak to the many. He would speak to thousands and thousands and thousands of people on the hill and give his sermons, and so would Buddha. But they had very few disciples. Very few loyal followers that were committed to understanding the true nature and true inner meaning of what we're talking about here, okay? And so that's why I always acknowledge you guys and give you props and thumbs up for what it is that you're doing here in this practice, okay? And so what we do, what I want to be able to sort of remind you of at this time is that while you're out and about, you know, doing your holiday stuff and, you know, remind yourself, okay, what is this time really about? So that you can enter into a conscious cooperation with your authentic soul self. And your soul self is that Christed light spark of you, okay? It is that you nature, all right? And meditation, prayer, if that's what you want to call it, is our opportunity to engage with this energy, okay? This is where we condition our consciousness with the energy of this abundant nature, okay? And so that's what we'll do in the guided meditation here, okay? So when we do our guided meditations, when we do any of our guided meditations, or when you do any of your daily meditations, that is the union of your personality, the union of your body, the union of the light within yourself, and it's a combination into the field of source energy. Okay, when you meditate or when you pray, you turn your focus inward. Right, you turn your focus inward into your consciousness, into your inner landscape, your inner consciousness, and you start to nurture and support and fertilize that inner consciousness, and then all of the tiny little seeds that you plant, the thoughts that you plant, the spiritual powers that we're activating on a month-to-month basis, the alchemical tools that we're amplifying on a month-to-month basis. When you do your meditative work, all of those seeds get planted in your consciousness, and then over time they start to grow. And they start to expand, and you notice that over time you start to become something different. Again, just like the caterpillar emerges into the chrysalis and then into the butterfly. And even there, right, there is an example of what I was talking about before, that in a phase, if you're talking in an electrical phase shift, when before something becomes something else, before one phase of electricity becomes in another phase of electricity, there's a drop in energy, there's a stillness. That's what a chrysalis is for a butterfly, right? It's that cocoon of total peace and stillness where all of this transformation is done in the dark, where there's no light. Literally, when the sun drops below the horizon, there's no light, symbolically speaking. Now, obviously, there's still light on the planet, but it's an inner darkness. It's an inner stillness. It's an inner cocoon that then allows all of the seeds that we've been planting through our mystical practice over the last 6 months to germinate, to take root, and then to start to express themselves, start to come to fruition, start to transform ourselves, start to shift and make things happen in our lives. Okay? That's what we're doing when you do this inner work. Okay. And so then the connection and the engagement that you have when you go into this quiet place is where you go in and you affirm peace and you cultivate peace and you declare your alchemical tool of identity. I am this. We declare that our blessings are already completed. Right. We declare our power. We declare our oneness, we declare our abundance, we declare our perfect health, we declare our love, then all of that stuff starts to take shape and reboot, literally like a computer rebooting. We upgrade our software. Even there's an example, right? When there's a transformation in a computer, I mean, these examples are all over the place, and it's so funny that as I talk about this, I see the example over and over and over again. That when you upgrade a computer, right, you take out an old program, you install a new program, but then before that new program can run, you've got to reboot it. You've got to shut the computer off. You've got to turn it down. You've got to turn it off. You've got to put it into peace. You've got to, it's so profound, before the new program can start to run. And that's what this time of year is all about. It's shifting into that time of peace so that the goals and the aspiration and the intentions and the healings and the transformations for prosperity and abundance and love and contribution can take root, can reboot our computer, can upgrade our consciousness so that what we start to experience on our external world, as we already know, that what we experience in our reality is merely an expression of what's going on in our consciousness, that this time of year allows us to reboot. And unfortunately, given the vast commercialization of this time, so few people are actually doing it. Okay? And so, as we reboot, our inner sight, our inner awareness, our inner power, our inner consciousness starts to get lit up again. Okay, and it starts to energize us, and it starts to remove our fears, our limitations, our anxieties, the old programs that used to run us, just like in the computer analogy I just mentioned, they don't work anymore. They don't operate anymore. The computer won't run them anymore, right? And so that's what's happening now. And so to make this time of December as your declaration that you're taking advantage of this time, that your growth in consciousness, your relationship with Christed light has begun, you're committed to it. And to go more deeply into the idea of identification, where you start to say, I am light. I am light. I am peace. I am one with the source. I am one with the Christed nature. right? And it will start to be you. Because whatever you identify as, whatever you attach yourself to, you manifest those qualities. And it doesn't matter whether you're attaching yourself to the Christed light, which holds the potential of everything wonderful, or you attach yourself to, I am stupid, I am broke, I am a loser, I am worthless, I am whatever it is you want to call it. I am tired, I am frustrated, I am not good enough, I am, even if you identify yourself as I am a woman, I am a man, I am gay, I am straight, I am a Christian, I am a Buddhist, I am, even if you declare yourself as I am a mystic, right? That's where you, the more you identify with that and as that, in its true meaning, you're going to become more of that, okay? So that's why it's important to be really clear and cognizant of what it is that you're identifying yourself as. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a feminist. I am a anarchist. I am a communist. I am a pacifist. I am a capitalist. I am a Zionist. Whatever it is that you claim yourself as, whatever you attach yourself to, over time, you will start to manifest those qualities, all right? So this is, too, is part of why this month, especially as we step into the new year where everybody's resolutions are going to start to come online, right, where we want to be sure that we're attached to the right things as we get energized as we step into the new year and we want to create all these new things. What are you attaching yourself to now? What are you identifying yourself as now? Get clear about that now. So they don't have to worry about it when you move into the new year. And so what I wanted to talk about as we sort of wrap up this part of the teaching module is some of the symbols that are a part of the Christmas tradition that we see around the world here. And again, we're not talking religiously here, but there's so much hidden mystical symbolism to some of the Christmas traditions that we see around us. That are really based on some of the processes and the results of mystical and alchemical, metaphysical, mystery school ceremonies that would take place around the world in mystical culture at this time of year. So, you know, let's just take an example. You know, again, we're not speaking religiously here, but what I want you to be able to do is when you're out and about in the world, regardless of whether you are a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or whatever your religious background is, I want you to just, as you're out and about and you're observing the Christmas stuff, notice that there's a lot of, it's about light, okay? So there's a lot of light. Hanukkah celebrates light. Christianity celebrates light, okay? So this idea of light and the stars, this particularly the star of Bethlehem, right, that symbolized, what it does is it symbolizes the coming light. It stands as a marker for the emerging Christed nature, all right? And so there's light everywhere. And so when you see the lights and stuff around, just sort of go, oh, okay, I get it. This is a symbolism. It's completely been lost. The true mystical understanding has been lost in commercial culture as to what the light really means, but it stands as a reminder of the return of the Christed light in each of us as individuals, okay? And trees and tinsel, you know, you see trees all over the place, Christmas trees with lights and tinsel. What that represents is in ancient times when the mystics, the magicians, the metaphysicians who were celebrating this time of year and the return of the Christed light, they would gather out in the forests, in the heart of nature, and they would cultivate in a group, they would cultivate great fields of energy using their own Christed identities. They would have ceremonies at Christmas time, and they would cultivate these great fields of energy. And these great fields of energy would swirl and swirl around the trees, and the energy would be so powerful that it would cling to the trees and it would drip the light would start to drip from the trees, and it would look like it was flowing like icicles and tinsel. And so when you see trees that have icicles on them or tinsel on them, that is a decorative representation of what would happen in these mystical circles where mystical groups would gather together, claiming their Christed nature, and the light and the energy would swirl around them and would stick to the branches of the trees and drip and cause these beautiful cascades of colored lights and colored flow to literally drip off of the branches of these trees. So that's another fun little mystical representation, magical representation of what is going on at Christmas time. And then the ideas of gifts and giving of gifts and gifts under these trees. So particularly in the, you know, in the Jesus, the Nativity story, the gifts of the three magi. Sorry, guys. The three wise men from the East, right? The three magi. In the Christed story, each of these three kings brought gold, one brought frankincense, and one brought myrrh. And gold symbolizes the spiritual gifts, of source energy, the ideas that align us with source energy. And gold, in its raw nature, is malleable and it's soft and it can be formed and it can be shaped. And so gold, which is our true nature, can be shaped into any form it wants. And we as human beings are malleable as well. So we can be shaped as well. And so our true nature that of our spiritual gifts allows us to become molded more and more into the shape of this true divine power. And one of the modules here in this month's teaching is it's in the PDF, the Soul Strategies article. There's a Soul Strategies article here in the module that talks about this 12 spiritual gifts. And what these are spiritual powers that I encourage you to play with over the course of, you know, the remainder of December, and realize that they'll operate just like I talked about peace. They operate as electrical currents that start to condition our consciousness. And I don't want to go too deeply into it in this conversation, but you'll see there in the PDF article, there's a list of 12 spiritual gifts, just like the 12 disciples, the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is a sacred number. It's a combination of earth and spirit, combination of the number 3 times 4. It's spirit times matter. It's a very powerful divine number. So there's 12 of them. And what I encourage you to do is to, after you've done the peace meditation for a few days, perhaps over solstice, is that you can use the remainder of our time, the month, and then before we connect again in the new year, to practice those 12 spiritual powers and just add one of them a day to your meditative practice. And there's, one of them is love, and one of them is strength, and one of them is illumination, and we've already done that one in our practice. One of them is wisdom, and one of them is knowledge, one of them is imagination, one of them is zeal, one of them is life, one of them is faith, one of them is strength. There's this very powerful list of spiritual gifts that will help align you even more poignantly with source energy. And so I really encourage you to take some time and go through that list and play with it and add one of those spiritual gifts and play with one a day in your meditation work. And so gold was one of the spiritual gifts that, again, is an idea that aligns us with source energy. Frankincense was the second spiritual gift that one of the magi brought. And that frankincense is a fragrant resin. It's like a tree sap. And it, again, this tree sap will absorb anything that it's sort of aligned with, again. And so this this frankincense symbolized the transmutable nature of man into spirit. It symbolized how plain ordinary man, when claiming its identity as the Christed one, could become this true spiritual being. And then myrrh represents eternity in its symbolism. And myrrh is an ointment, and it symbolizes the ointment of love. And so, you know, there are symbols, and there are many other symbols that are part of the mystical story of the nativity at this time of year that are deeply, profoundly, mystically speaking. You know, the idea of the virgin birth, the Christed nature being born of a human woman and the voice of God. Well, that represents all of us. We are born of the flesh, but we come from a divine patronage. We have a divine lineage. And so the Christmas story relates to all of us. It's not just limited to Jesus as a mystical teacher. And if you go back in history, this Christed story is tens and tens of thousands of years old. Jesus is the modern representation of this Christed story and in his mystical nature. But what's most important is that if you boil the whole thing down to its root, it is a story of light and how at this time of year, physical light descends into the darkness, into stillness and peace for 3 days, and then the Christed nature is reborn on earth, and it is reborn in us. Peace is the fertile, energetic foundation in which we plant this seed of this identity of our Christed nature. And as we identify that, and as we fertilize it, and as we allow this energy to saturate our consciousness and claim it as us, we start to become it, and it starts to become us, and as a result, we start to manifest it in our life, in our body, in our finances, in our relationships, in our careers, in how we go about things in our day-to-day, moment-to-moment experience here on earth. And so we're able to step into this identity with greater power and greater grace and greater clarity and love and joy and power and strength and beauty and compassion and all of the things that we, as spiritual adventurers, we want more of in our life anyway. And so I really invite you to take complete advantage of this time, particularly in this teaching module, to consider all of those things as we step into the new year and you start to ask yourself, what do I really want more of in my life? Do I want more strength and joy and power and compassion and love and happiness and peace and freedom and abundance and humor? And make a list and realize that all of those beautiful things that you would like to have more of in your life, you declare that you would like to have more of in your life, are the very attributes of the Christed nature. And so the more you step into this Christed nature, the more you declare it and identify with it as it, the more your life will start to reflect that and become that. And that's how your dreams really do start to come true. And those are the true gifts of this season. It's not really about the new computer, or the new clothes, or the new underwear, or the things like that. It's these inner gifts that are the true mystical understandings and the true mystical blessings of this time. And the more you can claim and declare and own these gifts for yourself first, then you can step out into the world in a meaningful, powerful, beautiful way and share those gifts with others and bring more light to the world in ways that have meaning for you. And that's how you transform the world, by claiming these gifts for yourself first. And if each of us does that for ourselves first, and everybody takes that responsibility, and it's not even a responsibility, it's a blessing to say, to declare, I am a part of that light. I am that light. I am light by nature. And if all of us did that on this planet, and the more and more people that stepped into that consciousness, then the planet would immediately transform into the beautiful kingdom of heaven that we all want it to be. This beautiful, gorgeous, unpolluted, lovely place that we all wish and pray and hope for. So I invite you to consider those things. What are the gifts you want for the new year? And then claim them for yourself now, this opportunity of this window of the rebirth of the Christed light. And you'll be able to start to watch how those things will start to unfold for you, as you, through you, in the new year. So with that, as I say, there is a guided meditation that's a part of this module that I will walk you through, and you can practice daily. Please take advantage and check into the PDF article that outlines the spiritual gifts. And as I say, you can pick one a day and just focus on that as you go out and about your day, you know, focus on faith, and, or the next day focus on joy, or the next day focus on wisdom, or the next day focus on love, and just allow those things to integrate themselves within you over the next couple of weeks before we dive into the new year, and just start to see how things feel. And you will start to feel things shifting on you, inside you, subtly, very subtly. And things are going to shift on the inside before they shift on the outside. And when they start to shift on the inside, just notice them and acknowledge them and say, oh, wow, that felt different. Oh, that's kind of cool. And know that as those things start to deepen on the inside and your consciousness on the inside is starting to change, then eventually, over time, things will start to change on the outside. And then that's how we step into the new year, to really boost our resolutions and empower our resolutions in a meaningful way, so we're not just going through the same old patterns over and over again, so that we're not living 2017 the same way we lived 2016, and that their true mystical transformation does in fact start to take place. But it requires your focus and attention and your time. So with that, I want to wish you guys all so have a very, very, very Merry Christmas in the true mystical sense of the word. I hope you'll take some time to spend really powerful time going within and making this relationship with your Christed nature and claiming it as a priority. I really hope you'll give yourself that gift, because it will be the gift that truly changes your life in far more meaningful ways than any new coat or new pair of shoes or new computer device ever will. So with that, I thank you all for being a part of membership over the last 6 months. 2017 is going to be the year of remembering who you are. And it is really going to take this work that we've done in December to a whole new level of really being able to step into that divine nature and being able to use it to influence and shape our lives in a meaningful way. But in order for us to remember who we are, we've got to be able to do this Christed nature work first. And then it will start to take shape and manifest itself, just like a cocoon, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. So again, I wish you the very, very best for a merry, mystical Christmas. Have a wonderful, happy, happy new year. We're going to do a Q&A here for the December module at the end of the month. I'll keep you posted on when we're going to do that. It might be a little bit different here because of the Christmas holidays, but as soon as I know, I'll let you know. So in the meantime, happy solstice. Happy, merry Christmas. I love you all. Thank you all for being a part of the community. Do take care. And I'll see you again soon on the inside. Bye-bye.